Good morning, Peninsula Hope Church. I hope you guys have had a blessed week and that your weekend has been going well. Have you ever been to a sporting event and noticed how there is always a few fans from the visiting team who, despite their surroundings, are proudly representing their team? What is it that makes them so committed despite the surroundings that they're in and no matter how their team is doing, whether they're leading or they're behind? I see a similar attitude with Mac users and a lot of people who love different brands, but specifically with Mac users. When you find a devout Mac user, there's no way to convince them that PCs are the way to go. They are committed to the Apple brand. There's similarities between committed sports fans, committed Mac users, and committed Christians. And as we continue our series, Beyond Belief, we're going to look at five things that we can do to strengthen our Christian beliefs and faith so that just like committed sports fans and committed Mac users, we do not waver from what we believe. And the five things we're going to talk about over the next 5 to 6 weeks are: be aware of the company you keep, or in other words, be aware of who you surround yourself with. We'll also take a look at being careful what we're exposing ourselves to. The third thing is seek out like-minded people. The fourth is forming an emotional connection to Christianity. And the fifth topic is repeat what you believe. And again, these are things that we see different sports fans and different brand committed individuals do. And if we embrace these as Christians, it will help to strengthen our belief in Jesus and who he is and what he did for us and our need for him and also our trust in him. So the first topic we're going to talk about today, this week, it's being aware of the company that we keep. And I want to start with some friendship statistics. A recent friendship study reported that 45% of Americans said it's hard to make new friends. 82% feel that lasting relationships are hard to find. And they say that the number one cause of lost friendships is moving away. In fact, 63% revealed that this is why they've fallen out of touch with certain individuals. The study also estimated that the average American has 16 friends. However, that number comprises of different degrees of companionship. They say that three friends are the kind of friends that you have for life. They are there through thick and thin. They're there no matter what. Five friends, these are people that you like and you enjoy hanging out with one-on-one. And then the remaining eight, they're people that you like, but you don't really want to hang out with them one-on-one. And I think if you look at your own relationships in your life, your own friendships, you could probably say that you have these varying degrees of companionship in your own relationships. And this is important because friendships have such a significant impact on our lives. Proverbs 27, verse 17 in the NIV says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." So we help to sharpen each other. We help to hold each other accountable. We help each other to grow. Proverbs 13, verse 20 in the NIV says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." So clearly the people that we are around affect us. Friendships affect the way you view the world, how you spend your time, and the expectations that you have of yourself and others. This got me thinking about my childhood and how typically I would not view Sundays as a day off like many others do. In the morning, I'd get up early and we'd go to Sunday school and then we'd have church service. And then afterwards, we'd spend the afternoon at lunch with family, friends from church. And then in the evenings, we'd have a youth event, a children's event, or evening service. And so Sunday was a very full day. And when I was younger, this wasn't a problem because the bulk of my friends were all at church. And so I'd see them there and it was easy to go. But as I got older and I learned to drive and I became more exposed to people and I had more and more non-Christian friends, it became more and more difficult to attend these different church activities because my Christian values, they started to waver. And there was often many Sundays where instead of going to church, I'd want to hang out with my friends because they'd be going out playing football, maybe going to football games. And so my Christian beliefs, and maybe possibly even some of my Christian morals, they started to waver. A 2018 article from the Mayo Clinic said, having good friends increases happiness and joy. It provides a greater sense of purpose and belonging. It helps to reduce stress and anxiety. It improves your feelings of strength and self-esteem. It helps you to cope with trauma and loss. And it helps you to decrease feelings of loneliness and isolation. Also, we see that friendships can encourage healthy habits such as exercise, laughter, and eating well. And when you surround yourself with Christian friends, they can encourage you in all aspects of your Christianity. But sadly, friendships can have a negative effect on us as well. This is where peer pressure comes in. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 in the NIV says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So again, the people that we're around affect us. And in some cases, they can affect us negatively. Friends can pressure or encourage you to take unwise or unsafe risks. You might pick up some of your friends' unhealthy habits. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25 in the NIV says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Friendships can also influence you to go against your Christian beliefs and your Christian morals, or maybe you will drop them altogether. They can cause you to switch your Christian values and Christian priorities. A great example of this, and I've used the Lion King Disney cartoon in another illustration, and there's a scene that really speaks to this. And it's a scene where Mufasa takes Simba, the little lion cub, around, and he shows him all the areas, the kingdom that he is over. But there's this one area in the shadows, and Mufasa tells Simba, you can't go there, that shadowy place in the distance. He says that is beyond our borders and Simba must never go there. Unfortunately, Simba's uncle Scar, he's planning to kill Simba. And so he plays upon Simba's emotions and his curiosity about that shadowy place. And then he lets it slip that that's an elephant graveyard and only the brave can go there. And so Simba, he takes this in and he's like, I want to go there. And unfortunately, Simba, he convinces his little friend Nala to go with him as well. And so they end up sneaking out one night. They end up tricking their mothers and lying to them. And they end up going to the elephant graveyard and they get into trouble. I think that's a great illustration of the effect, the negative effect that people can have on us. Even family members who may not be believers can affect our Christian morals and our Christian values. So then we have to ask ourselves, how should we as Christians develop our social network? If we want to strengthen our Christianity, our belief and our faith in Jesus. And as I talked about last week, belief is a combination of the truth of who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and why we need him, and that is because we are sinners, and without him, we will have an eternity separated from God in hell. And it is also, belief is also about faith. It is a trust in Jesus. It's trusting Jesus. It's trusting God with all aspects of our life, that God knows better than us the choices, the decisions that we should make. And so how do we, wanting to strengthen our Christian values and morals, wanting to strengthen our belief in Jesus, how do we pick our friends? How do we pick those that are around us? One, we need to pray for opportunities to develop strong, lasting Christian friendships in our life. I know for me, I do have these three closest friends in Colorado that I've known for years. And whenever I talk about them, I always say, these relationships, they are marinated in Jesus, meaning that is how they started, that's what they're about. We pray together, we cry together, we support each other. That's what they're about. Even if we talk about fun things that are going on in our lives, it always goes back to Jesus. And those are the people I want in my life. We need to use spiritual or biblical discernment. 3 weeks ago, we talked about spiritual discernment. We need to use that discernment on who to allow into our lives. Proverbs 12, verse 26 in the NIV says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." Now here's a reality. We cannot choose all the relationships in our life. Sometimes we're born with relationships. Sometimes we have coworkers we have relationships with because it's who we work with. And we also need to have some non-Christian friends in our life. Otherwise, how can we carry out the Great Commission? How can we lead others to Christ if we don't have any non-Christians around us? But with that in mind, Christians should make up the bulk of your inner circle, or those who have the closest relationships to you, or the largest influence on your life and your decisions. Those should be Christians. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 15 in the NIV says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" And that might get a little confusing and sound a little harsh. Basically, it comes down to this. Paul was telling the Corinthians to avoid deep, influential relationships that would compromise their faith and their Christian morals. We need to do the same. We have to be careful that those who have the greatest influence on us are not those that would challenge us or cause us to divert or change our Christian morals and values. I see an example of this in the corporate world. There are many nonprofit organizations that have started, and I used to work for one, a mentoring organization, and it was a Christian organization with Christian values. But unfortunately, what happens is sometimes finances are running low, and decisions are made to get corporate support. But when you do that, you oftentimes have to change your Christian values. I saw that in the organization I worked for. The Christ was taken out of our mission and value tagline, and decisions were made from a very different perspective. It was not a Christian perspective. So we have to be careful who we partner with, who we are yoked together with. And oftentimes people talk about this verse in context of marriage, and that is absolutely true. It's very difficult for a devout Christian to marry a non-Christian. But this also includes friendships, business partnerships, different relationships where someone has a lot of influence on your life. We have to be careful who we are connected to and who we let into that inner circle. Here's another consideration. Make sure the Christians who are closest to you, even those in your inner circle, that they practice what they preach. In other words, make sure the Christians that are closest to you, that they are mature or maturing Christians. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11 in NIV says, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. And here's the explanation. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. So what this is saying is that, of course, we're going to have non-Christians that don't have Christian morals and values. If we wanted to get away from them, we would have to leave the planet Earth, and that's not going to happen. What's being said here, what Paul is telling us, is that we have to be careful that we don't surround ourselves with Christians who talk a great Christian game, but they don't live the Christian lifestyle. They're all talk and no action. We have to be careful, because if we are surrounded by these individuals, we may become those people who do not practice what we preach. We may be people who talk about the gospel, who talk about the Bible, and we live more like devils. We have to be aware of that. This also may mean that you may have to let go of some toxic relationships. You'll have to start to establish some good boundaries with people. I had mentioned earlier in my church upbringing that as I got older, it was more and more difficult to get involved in church activities because the bulk of my friends were not Christians. I was very fortunate that in my last couple of years of high school, I had some pastors really pouring into me that helped to steer the direction of my life. And so I was able to make some changes. I was able to get regrounded in God and my Christian beliefs. But what that meant is I had to let some very close friends go. People whose lives were going in a very different direction than the direction I wanted my life to go. And although that sounds tough and harsh, I have zero regrets at all, because I know what God was calling me to. And so you may have to make some changes. You may have to let go of some toxic relationships in your life. And then the final thing is, become the Christian friend to others you would like in your own life. Luke 6, verse 31, the NIV says, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." So if you want some amazing, mature Christians in your life, then be that amazing Christian, that mature Christian in the lives of others. I want to end with this quote. There's an entrepreneur and Christian, his name is Jim Rohn. If you look him up, he's been a part of many different corporations and encouraging people. And I didn't realize he was a Christian at first. And so when I did a little more research on him, I saw that he was. And he has this quote, and he says, "We are the average of the five people we spend the most time with." So this week, even today as you're listening to the sermon, ask yourself, who are the five people I spend the most time with? Who are the five people who have the biggest influence on my life? And then ask yourself, do they help steer me closer to God, or do they push me away from Him? Because taking a look at who we surround ourselves with, the company that we keep, this is the first thing that we can do to help strengthen our belief in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's a tough message. It is tough to hear, Lord, when we have to make changes, Lord, with relationships in our lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there is anyone that needs to make some changes, that through your Holy Spirit's leading, Lord, you would allow that to happen. Lord, and I pray that if there are people that you want to bring into our lives, Lord, that you would do that, that you would bring incredible people into our lives. Lord, if there is any individuals in our life, whether they are family members or friends who do not know you, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have the boldness, Lord, to carry out the Great Commission, to share the love and the freedom that we have through you. Lord Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen. Hey, we love you guys, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.